B-Pod Studios.
.975 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 3 o'clock hour, and it's brought to you by Corpoli's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Talking about the Sixers, talking about the Flyers, talking about old school. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Vernon in North Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, Tyrone.
What's going on, Vernon?
Not much, man. I wanted to talk about the Sixers, right? Last night, great game. Was really into it. The third quarter kind of let me down. I thought that going into the game, we know that the Sixers were better than Miami, and we know Embiid was out. So I was looking forward to them coming out a little harder than they did in the third quarter. But my question is this, moving forward with Mike Scott, Jonah Bolden, James Ennis, Simmons on the bench, who do you think will take up those three spots that you feel as though, because you say you only want to play eight.
Yeah, I'm playing eight, yeah. So you got the starting five. TJ's one.
Okay.
Boban's two, Mike Scott's three, and that's all I would play.
Okay, all right. That's all I wanted to know, because I heard in the presser last night Brett Brown say that Mike Scott is there. I was just wondering.
Chandler.
Yeah, Chandler, right?
Yeah.
Do Mike Scott fill that role like a Chandler? I mean,
well, he can defend. He can actually play every game, and his legs aren't all beaten down like Chandler. Yeah, he can fill in that role like Chandler.
Okay. All right. That's what I was wanting to know. What would be your three out of the, you know, the bench players, since you're wanting to play eight? And to answer y'all, old school, new school,
yeah.
Me personally, I'm all old school. Give me juiced up baseball players. Give me concussion prone football players. I'm just old school with it. I prefer the old school over the new school.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. That's fine. The juiced up baseball, I agree with. You know, in hindsight, you know, all these sanctimonious baseball writers, oh, the game's so dirty. You know, okay. Newspapers have struggled, and I don't like that, because I'm a person who appreciates the written word.
So do I.
And that's one thing that I prefer old school to new school, and I love video, and I get it. But I like the written word. It's why I subscribe to The Athletic, because I don't want to watch a video a lot of times with my story. I just want the written word.
Yeah.
And with this medium, a video doesn't necessarily do us any good unless we're pulling that audio for the show.
Right.
I want to read the story. But I feel like the baseball writers kind of dug their own grave in a way.
Why?
Because people were juiced about the juiced baseball, the juiced players. Baseball's rocking when the ball's flying out. Hitting 70 home runs was cool.
Yeah.
And every newspaper in the country was writing about it. Then they start reporting on it, basically snitching, coming in, oh, did you see? This guy, A-Rod, was doing juice. McGuire was doing I don't care. That was entertaining me. He wasn't making me do steroids.
Right.
The pitchers throwing the ball are on steroids. The hitters and the fielders all on steroids. Sounds even to me.
Well, I mean, but that's one of those ethical issues.
Ethical issues. It's not crack.
I'm not saying that it's unethical. However, there are many people who believe that that's cheating. So that's in there, and then lies the ethical
issue.
If
they all do it, is it cheating?
No, but they weren't all doing it.
Well, that's shame on them. They weren't testing for it. And if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Now, see, that's an old school mentality that you have there.
I'll be honest. When little 8-year-old Andrew found out that Barry Bonds was doing steroids, my heart was crushed.
It was?
Does 25-year-old Andrew care now? Hell no.
And you know why your heart
Bring
was
back
crushed?
The juice.
Because you were told that was wrong.
Exactly.
Barry Bonds did that partially for us. Every at-bat of Barry Bonds was must-see TV. He sacrificed his body for us. And what do? We wrote little stories about how terrible it was. Now you can't write about baseball. Now, I'm not saying kids, do it clean. Once you become an adult, you make your own decision. Do you want to hit home runs or you don't? If you want to be a slap hitter, well, go ahead and don't juice up.
Now, what about the people who didn't juice and hit home runs? What do you say to them?
Who did that during that era?
Jim Thome.
Okay. Good for you, Jim. You could have hit a few more.
You could have had 800. You could have broken the record.
You know what you're doing? Only hitting 500, something, 600. You know, you could have hit 800 there, Jim. That, in all seriousness, Pedro Martinez, quickly, is the greatest pitcher to ever live. He pitched in that era off the juice and had the best adjusted ERA. He's the best pitcher ever. It's simple.
But it's hard to, I guess it's hard to gauge talent level if you're using performance-enhancing substances.
No, it's not. This is why I say that, Nat. I can do steroids. If I go to the batting cage, I couldn't hit not one home run. I couldn't hit a single home run if I was juiced to the gills.
You might be able to now. You don't know that.
I do know that because I'm not talented enough to hit a baseball. Like, you, everybody who did that was still talented. He brought up juice baseball. And let's be honest. Entertainment-wise, Nally, what was better? That baseball or this new analytic-filled baseball?
No, I get what you're saying.
What was more fun for the viewer?
The old school. The baseball with the juice.
Remember
10, 15 years ago when ESPN would do cutaways to, all right, Barry Bonds is up to bat. Let's go to San Francisco to watch Barry Bonds bat.
Yeah.
And that wasn't when he was trying to break the record. No, that was just, all right, let's see if he hits number 650 here.
Oh, right. We got to cut away to this. Bases were loaded.
McGuire's
no outs. And they walked Barry Bonds because they were afraid of him. Like, that stuff was a big deal. And now, that's one. This new baseball, the new school is not better than the old school. That's one way. Now, listen, there was a human toll. I get it. Obviously, we're tongue-in-cheek when we're talking about this. I don't literally mean go out there and do steroids. What I mean is, as a viewer, as a consumer of baseball, that was a lot more fun to watch. It just was. Oh, yeah, your shift. Good luck shifting when that ball's coming at you that fast.
Yeah, shift somebody to the right field seats.
You know what I think is interesting, too, is you're talking about the way that the game is evolving into this new school way. There's an argument for that with basketball as well, because people feel like these super teams, these juiced up basketball teams, are taking the fun out of the way that basketball used to be. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, see, I don't buy it. This is why.
Because it's like there's one actual team that battles everybody else every year.
Yes.
And that's the way that the game has flowed, similarly to baseball, the way that the game has gone now. So is the new school way basketball better or the old school way?
See, this is the thing. Jordan won 6 straight finals. He won 6 in a row. Bill Russell has 11 rings. This is not that different. We just get more angry about it. The NBA is a have or have not league, unlike every other.
Right.
If you can win one, you can usually win more than one, but it's damn hard to win one. The NBA is an outlier. Football is, in a way, the easiest. A team pops up, except for the Patriots, and a team's gone. A team pops up and wins one. Now, it also shows kind of annoyingly why the Eagles took so long or why the Browns can never get it together. But if you look at the Super Bowl,
yeah,
if you take the Patriots out, generally it's somebody new a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
Washington gets there in the 80s. Then the Giants get their shot. Then 49ers get there. Like, and Denver's there. Like, it switches off a lot in football. The NBA is static. It was the Lakers and Boston. Then it was Detroit for 2 after they lost to those other teams. Then it was the Bulls for 3, Houston for 2, and then the Bulls for 3 more.
I guess I mean just in regards to the way that the super teams are now. It's not a new school thing. It's just people are treating it like it's new.
You have Rodman, Pippen, and Jordan on the same team, and then they go, oh, I hate super teams now. You didn't hate Jordan, them Hall of Famers with Jordan. Like, that's a very new school thing to whine about things that have been going on forever.
Well, and do you think it has to do with the fact that now all the information is readily available to us, so we know that the players are almost conspiring to get their team together?
It's because people deep down are hypocrites in this way. And we're going to get to the phones in just 1 second. This is what I mean by people are hypocrites. In your job, whatever you do for your job, you want to control your own destiny.
Yeah.
Like, if I like working here. If I decide to not work here, I would like to make that decision myself, if it's up to, in a perfect world.
Yeah.
The only difference before was the owners, the bosses, were making the super teams, and the players weren't. So if you ask me, what would I choose? The owner sitting in some ivory tower making a decision on behalf of the labor.
Old school.
Or the labor making their own decisions. I prefer labor making their own decisions.
So new school.
I prefer that. But super teams themselves, Red Auerbach never coached less than 5 Hall of Famers in his entire career, yet people complain, Phil Jackson just coaches Jordan. So that's what I mean. Like, it's phony. It's a phony complaint if you actually watch the NBA throughout its history.
Okay.
And I prefer the players picking than some owners picking, especially since the result's still going to be the same. So what I hope is that the players choose Philadelphia and the Sixers are the ones that get the run. And then I have no complaints. Win 8. I hope Embiid and with 8.
Yeah.
I hope the rest of the league has no chance and I'll watch every game forever.
Right.
Oh, look. Oh, I'm so bored. Embiid and Simmons with another parade.
I guess it's just, some of the fan base doesn't want the player to have that much power. That's an old school mentality.
Right, and it's hypocritical because you would not, in your own job, you want to be able to control where you work.
Yeah.
You do not want someone telling you where you're going to play. You would not want that. You would not, if you're a plumber, you shouldn't have to work at ABC Plumbing when you want to work at XYZ Plumbing. You should be able to pick whatever plumbing company you want to work for.
Fair.
It's the same thing.
Very fair.
But we get mad. How dare those players pick where they want to play?
Mm-hmm.
They should just be happy playing in a terrible city that's boring. Like Oklahoma City. Like, because before, if you were drafted to Oklahoma City, you're stuck there. No one should be stuck there.
Yeah.
You're stuck there forever?
Well, then that's a problem with the NBA. Who wants playing for the Memphis Grizzlies? And will the Memphis Grizzlies ever win?
Barbecue down there.
Are the Grizzlies ever going to win a championship?
Yeah, but here's the thing. There was tons of teams. Look at NBA history. Look how many teams have never won. That's not new.
Right.
That's the NBA has. You're not wrong, but that NBA has always had that problem. They've never not had that problem, is what I mean.
And they're not going to just cut back teams.
No. Seattle needs a team. Somebody should move there. Maybe Memphis should move to Seattle. Seattle deserves a team.
Yes.
And they're getting a hockey team. So it's time. Like, let's go. All right. Dustin in Northeast Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, Ty?
What's up, Dustin?
Great show, man. I had a call in. Actually, real quick, before I get to my Sixers point, you were talking about how you enjoyed watching baseball during the G-Sing era.
Yep.
Personally, I'm on the belief, people call me crazy all the time whenever I say it, like whenever I'm having a conversation at a bar about sports. I personally believe that steroids across all sports should be legal. They are making... I know, but listen, this is why I'm saying it. They know what the long-term effects of steroids are going to do to your body. All right, we are paying all this money, hundreds of dollars, to go see a sporting event. If they are allowed to increase their abilities, which is unbelievable right now, and I agree with you what you were saying to Nat a couple minutes ago, the hand-eye coordination.
I was joking earlier. I don't literally, because guys have died because of it. Your body can't build its own testosterone. There's tons of negative reasons. I'm not serious about people doing drugs. Like, this is jokes, man. These are jokes.
I'm serious, dude.
Yeah, but that's a mistake.
I know. I sound crazy, but I'm saying
you sound cruel.
If they want to take steroids and be an unbelievable and seeing stuff that we've never seen before, I'm all for it. I really personally. Do not care.
And you don't care about how they age? So hold on. They do that for you in baseball from age 22 to 40. They do that for you. And then at 50, they're having all kinds of struggles from doing those steroids for that extended amount of time, which we now know about because when you know better, you do better. I do care about that. If that person entertained me for that long, in that scenario, they entertained me for 18 years. At least the thing I can do is owe them to care about their safety after they're done playing. It's part of the reason why I have a tough time with the NFL sometimes, because I have a tough time. I worry about people's safety after. So you don't care about that guy and how he lives?
No, because that makes me look horrible. Because I do care about how they live. But, Ty, that is their, if they want to do that, Barry Bonds knew what's going to happen probably 15, 20 years after he plays baseball. He understands his body's going to break down. He's breaking all sorts of records. It was must-see TV.
It absolutely was, and I agree with that. But sometimes you have to save people from themselves. You have to save people from themselves. And they're also, at what lengths should a person go to entertain us? Like, I was joking. Like I hope people, I don't literally think it was more watchable, but we've seen what happened to people. Jose Canseco has talked about it, the amount of doctors he has to go to because his body stopped building testosterone. He had to go through. That's not a good way for a, and we also don't realize how young pro athletes are relative to society. Like we're talking about Dwayne Wade played his final game in Philadelphia last night. Dwayne Wade's a young man. He's an old professional athlete. Dwayne Wade has a newborn child. I want him to be able to see that child grow up. He's entertained all of us. If you're a basketball fan, you've seen Wade. He's entertained you. He's played in finals. You should care that he gets to raise his children safely, like safety and healthy. Like, you should care about that. And that's where, even if they did it to make all that money, we should care about that, because at what length should a person go to entertain us? Sports are entertaining. Like, they're important. We love it. Look at the Eagles. Like, that was like, a lot of people think the Eagles winning the Super Bowl was the best thing to happen in their lives. But there's a certain length I wouldn't want Jason Kelce to go to entertain me.
Yeah.
There's, like, I don't want Carson Wentz, if his back is literally broken, to be playing.
And, like that caller who called earlier, he said he misses that old school football. And that's when this is when you have to jump into the new school and adapt to the technology that's going to preserve the player's life.
Right. Go ahead. You got something?
Yeah, we got some news. The MLB just announced that during the 2019 spring training games, and they will vote on whether or not it happens during the major leagues or during the actual regular season. They have a 20-second pitch timer.
Oh.
So we have some news regarding that. They're going to instruct teams and umpires this week, and then they'll start adapting them to next week's games. The two rules that will be put on that, the batter needs to be in the batter's box and alert to the pitcher with at least 5 seconds remaining on the timer, and the pitcher must start their motion before the 20 seconds are up. That doesn't mean the pitch has to be thrown. Like, if they start their motion at second 20, they're still in the clear. And then also, the timer will not be used at the first pitch of any at-bat.
Okay. So once the at-bat starts,
20 seconds between pitches, yep.
I like it.
There you go.
Now, I'm interested to see, because I don't know exactly how much time is average in between pitches. But if it's 45 seconds to a minute and you're cutting it down to sometimes 30 seconds,
yeah.
that's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time, and that makes a difference. And the game has flow. And I understand that baseball's untimed, but having flow is not a negative thing. When the game gets too disjointed for no reason, this could help that. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Some of these spring training games will be televised, so we'll be able to see that around baseball, including the Phillies on NBC Sports Philly and NBC 10. So hopefully we'll be able to see that and see if the game flows a little bit better. And I still think 20 seconds is enough time to figure out your next pitch, because we asked Carson Wentz to decide in like 4 seconds.
Yeah, what the next play is going
to
be.
Like, he drops back with somebody trying to kill him, and he has to decide which receiver to go to in less than 3 seconds. But it's unfair to ask a pitcher, what pitch can I throw in which I won't get hurt at all? 20 seconds is enough time.
Yeah, you put down the number one for fastball. The guy shakes it off. You put the number two down for curveball. Usually the second call is what they go with.
Yeah, like, that's it. Like, if Carson Wentz can stand back there and Nick Foles and have four seconds at the maximum to throw, I think a pitch, and if not, they're putting to the ground. Guys are trying to kill him. 20 seconds for a pitch, I think it won't kill you.
Yeah.
I think that's a happy medium. If he has, the NBA team has 24 seconds to figure out how to get a shot off with defense. Mike and Willenbro, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. Hey, your rise in Philly sports is something fantastic to see, man. I think you're going to go far. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Speaking about the Sixers, man, last night, the game, I know people like, oh, the game was great. No, the game was horrible, man. Once again, watching Brett Brown coach these guys.
What was the problem? When he had one bad rotation at one point where he only had one starter in. But other than that, he coached a good game and they won. What was the problem?
Okay, so when you have these, like, hockey-like substitutions in games, I'm not just talking about just last night, but it's a pattern with him. He does it. When the game is in the flow and guys are actually putting plays together, he does these hockey-like substitutions. He did that last night and it just turned me off, and I didn't want to watch the game.
He does that every game at the six-minute mark in the first quarter. It's what he does.
And I know that, and it's kind of hard for me to continuously watch that.
Why?
Because it interrupts the flow of the game. There was a couple of games back where J.J. Had hit like four or five threes in a row. And all of a sudden, you take him out of the game. Like, that breaks a flow of a player who could erupt for 40 points.
Well, I don't know if J.J.'s going to get 40, but what about this argument? It's 82 regular season games. Getting these guys rest is more prudent so that in the playoffs I can make different adjustments. So I have to stick with this.
So you think that they're rested during the playoffs, that these guys are somehow are going to compete at a different level?
Yeah, I think that we've learned that. Keeping the body fresh is paramount in the NBA now because of the amount of offense and defense you have to play now. Partially because you can't hand check guys.
These guys don't play no defense, man.
You're not watching games if you think they don't play defense. You're not watching games. They play so much more defense than they ever did. And look how much you have to cover. Think about how much ground all these teams have to cover.
0-1, 0-2 Sixers compared to...
Yes. All they did was maul you back then. They didn't have to play hardly any defense. Hand checking was still in. You have to remember something.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these top NBA shooters make more three-pointers than Larry Bird, when he led the league, used to take in comparison. Just so you understand, Curry and all these guys, they make more three-pointers per season than Larry Bird used to take in a season. And they make 40% or less. So they're taking more, so you have to cover way more ground, much more ground than the NBA floor playing defense. They play way more defense than they used to, way more. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson, in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.975 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 3:32, and now it's time to update our Twitter poll, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Thank you, Ty. Over 1,100 votes on this so far. Do you generally prefer old school or new school? 74% going old school, 26% saying new school, so a lot of old school people. Voting on Twitter, which is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, baby boomers do have an unfair advantage because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
There's more of them than everybody else. So if they're on Twitter, they're dominating with the old school.
And what did I say to you before the show started?
Wait.
Those 80s kids.
The baby boomers is what? What's the age bracket for that? Are you a baby boomer? No.
No.
No. What are the baby boomers?
I don't know. The youngest baby boomers now are, like, 60?
Oh.
It's that huge group. Though.
What's
a lot
the
of
one?
Them.
What's I'm thinking? I'm thinking of the one. What's the one after the baby boomers?
Oh, I don't know.
Generation that's, Y or is that, X?
Is that no? That's Generation X, and then it's the millennials, right? I'm gonna look this up.
Yeah, look it up.
Okay.
All right. Now we have a little surprise. Right now, if you're caller number 5 to the contest line, 215-263-0975, 215-263-0975, you will win a pair of Temple tickets. A pair of tickets to see the Temple Owls battle Tulsa tomorrow at noon at the Leah Cora Center. all kids in sixth grade and younger can score a basket on the court following the game, visit IsleTix.com. So, yes, a pair of tickets for tomorrow's game, Temple versus Tulsa at the Lee Corps Center. Number five caller to the contest line, 215-263-0975, because we like to give gifts. And
great.
We got two Temple people in that room.
Yes, we do.
And Temple's playing well this year.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have three Philly teams in the March Madness tournament.
Excited about that.
Nova, Temple, and Penn.
And this is a nice send-off. Have they made all that official yet?
No.
But it'll be a nice send-off for the new coach at Temple. I mean, have they made that official?
Yes. Yeah, they said it before the season started that it'll be his last year. Oh, yeah, he's doing the retirement tour.
No. That it's Aaron McKee after him. Is that official?
I don't know if they've signed.
No.
I don't know if there's paperwork. I know they did the press conference before the year started saying,
I remember all
this is
that.
Fran's last year. Aaron McKee will be the coach next year.
Yeah, I was always wondering. Like,
who knows?
Paperwork could get lost.
It's official.
It's official.
Yes.
Paperwork could get lost.
Now, obviously, we've been talking about the old school, new school, Sixers, so, Flyers.
Here are the generations.
Yes.
So the baby boomers is early to mid-40s and ends from 60 to 64.
Right now?
Yes. That's the boomers. Generation X is early to mid-60s, ending in the 80s. Then it's millennials.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 80s to early 2000s.
Right, so if you're born from the 40s to the 60s.
That's the baby boomers.
Right.
Then I was thinking of Generation X. So X is 60s to 80s.
So I'm X.
You're Generation X.
Yes.
And then I am a millennial.
Aren't you both millennials? Or is Andrew?
I'm a millennial.
Well, what year were you born?
93.
So mid-90s to mid-2000s is Generation Z.
So he's an old millennial.
He's an older millennial.
No, a younger millennial.
Yeah.
Younger millennial.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. See, we're covering everything, though, here on the program. On the program. In a little while, we're going to get to, we have B. West from 4 to 5. That's exciting. We can ask him about old school stuff. I wonder how he feels about old school training camp versus new school training camp.
I'm sure he'll have a lot of thoughts on that.
Yeah, we'll ask him about that and other old school things. I have in front of me the 30 greatest comedy films of all time based on popularity.
Okay.
Which is key.
Popularity versus, so this is what's tough. Number one, based on popularity, according to this list, is American Pie, which was a 99. So it's just in the old school realm. Number two, The Hangover. Number three, The Big Lebowski, old school, 98. Number four, The Birdcage from 90. How is that in the top?
Who?
Number five is 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Funny, new but school. I don't know if it's number five.
New school. It's the second new school out of five. So of the top five is three. It's very odd. No Richard Pryor movies. My dad is watching. He texted me. You're not going to talk about Richard Pryor? I'm sorry, Dad. You're right. Richard Pryor deserves credit. I don't know what Richard Pryor's best comedy movie was, though, as far as film.
Right.
Not just stand-up. Ghostbusters 84 is number six. Something About Mary, number seven. 98. So, and Coming to America, number eight, 88.
Yeah.
Old school. That's all-timer. Groundhog Day, number nine. First of all, The Birdcage is just kind of throws me off. Old school. And number 10, Office Space, 99. So another one right on the borderline. The only one I really disagree with is The Birdcage.
I don't know if I don't know if I agree with that list at all for all time. It's kind of strange.
Well, do you like any of those movies? You have to also remember when popularity, I think, has to do with repeated viewing.
Exactly.
And it's easier to watch these 90s movies and newer than it was like 70s and 80s movies.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So,
out of the top 30, 21 of them are old school, before 2000.
Oh, wow.
See, but also old schools are larger. I limited it to try to keep everybody in the conversation because I don't want to keep, if you're a 20-year-old kid, you can be in the conversation. You'd be cut out of it if I went too far back. So, all right, interesting. We'll get to all 30 before the show is over. Matt in Downingtown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, Tyrone, I think we're missing like the biggest classic old school movie ever, which is probably the best comedy ever. It's Animal House.
Let's see where Animal House is. Is it in the top 30? You know what? I don't know how popular Animal House is as far as rewatchable with the modern era. How often do they watch it? How many times have you seen it?
At least 100 times.
You've seen it 100 times. Now, how old the guy are you?
Yeah. Okay, so he's Gen X.
Gen X.
Yeah, I mean, I was 70. I was born in 76. So
it's a great movie. I don't know if it's underrated. I don't think it's underrated. I think it's properly rated.
Okay, I mean, I still think it's like the best. That and Caddyshack are probably my two tops.
Caddyshack's better than, it's better than that. So, yeah, nah. It might be overrated.
All right. So anyway, about the Flyers coming into the winter or the Stadium Classic, whatever you're calling it. Do you think they're going to actually have the game tomorrow night, first off?
I don't know. I'm not the weather person.
It's still.
I don't know what you guys have been hearing, though. I mean, I know you guys have, you know, a closer pulse on the situation than maybe us.
The reports say that it's still on, but they're definitely monitoring it make a decision tomorrow.
I'm looking at it now. High of 44 tomorrow, low of 39, and no rain. That's what I'm looking at right now on the weather on my app.
I'm looking to get tickets maybe, so I just was wondering, if it's, should I wait off until maybe it goes off till Sunday or something?
Sunday it's going to rain, it looks like, according to the app. Do you trust the weather app is really your question you have to ask yourself. I'm seeing a lot more chance and even warmer on Sunday and rainy. So if they're going to fit it in, I feel like they have to get it in tomorrow.
They're going
to
give another update tomorrow at noon.
Yeah. So
as of right now, okay. It's on. They'll update you tomorrow at noon.
Yeah.
At noon. Okay, cool. And then what do you think about the goal? Do you think it's going to be Carter Hart starting?
I think it should be. I have no idea what this interim coach's mind. Unfortunately, because he's an interim coach, I'm not getting too attached to him because I know he's going to be gone. So I haven't paid close enough attention to what he thinks because I figure he's just a placeholder.
Yeah, I think you got to give the kid a chance.
I think you do. I personally think you have to give them a chance. So let's hope that they do. I hope the game happens too. But, I mean, it's not going to rain. Well, what's the concern? Bad ice, right?
Yeah. Well, no, they said it could rain tomorrow.
I'm just going by the app. I'm going by the hour by hour.
No, the official press release from the NHL says, despite there being some level of precipitation in the forecast, preparations are ongoing to play the game as scheduled, and it'll monitor conditions moving forward and provide another update by noon on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm looking at the thing. It says cloudy, but I don't see any precipitation.
Well, apparently it's calling 90% chance. Between a half inch and 3/4 inch of rain is expected.
Well, how come my app says none? What's up with my app?
Are you in Ballykinwood?
No, I'm in Philly on the app. I'm going to have to go in.
Maybe there's going to be a cloud over South Philly.
Take that up with Apple.
By the way, Animal House, I somehow took it off the list, is 22nd based off popularity. There's literally one missing on this damn list that I printed out for you.
Oh, yeah.
22 is missing.
22 is about right. All right, 610-632-0975. We got Brian Westbrook from 4 to 5. And your phone call still. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Big Pimpin', baby. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson, in for Mike Missanelli. Big Pimpin' playing in the background. Now, that's a world we couldn't do. That's something you can't do anymore. What happened in this video, you can't just pour liquor on people on a boat anymore.
So that's something else that came to my mind with this old school, new school stuff. Comedy in general, maybe not movies, but comedy. You could get away with a lot more 20 years ago, and some might say that would be funnier.
No,
it was stuff that you could get away with.
Yes, but that's also because current comedians are wimps. I can tell you one thing I'm never going to do. I'm never going to apologize for a joke. I apologize for saying something stupid because I'm not perfect. I'm sure I'll say a lot of stupid things, but I'm not apologizing for a joke. You can't. Once you apologize for a joke, you're cooked. Because a joke is a joke. Now, saying something mean or insensitive is not a joke. A joke is a joke.
Right, and comedy of the past used to just be mean or insensitive.
Right.
Right.
All comedy was insensitive, though. We know what we can and can't say anymore. And I think you can say whatever you want now. The joke just has to land. If the joke doesn't land, that's when you get in trouble. You can joke about anything you want still if the people laugh. The problem is you make a joke about something insensitive and the people don't laugh.
Right.
Then you're screwed.
Right. But back then there were probably people who would laugh at things that now are not okay to laugh at.
Got to know your audience.
I mean, I listened to an interview with Steve Carell. They asked if he would do an Office reboot. He said no, because half the jokes that they did,
he can't
do now.
He had an Asian character named Ping. He couldn't do that now.
No.
But maybe he could if that community that he was offending laughed. Find a way to make them laugh. The comedy's supposed to be hard. So I don't feel that bad for anybody. I just don't. It's hard to be funny. That's why you leave it to professionals.
So would you say comedy, old school, is better than new school?
I don't know. I have to go through. Richard Pryor's the greatest comedian ever. Eddie Murphy only did two, but he was amazing. George Carlin. Yeah, probably. But it's not the jokes. It's who was making the jokes. Also, Richard Pryor, for example, revealed things that current comedians never would. Like, if you Google that, like, he revealed things that no current comedian would. So, yeah, old school probably wins for comedy. Stand-up comedy. Yeah. Probably. I still think comedy movies are funnier now, overall.
Not according to IMDb, man.
I don't know. You know what? They got The Birdcage is number four.
It's so strange.
I mean,
it's a funny movie.
Not that funny.
I like Robin Williams.
It's a chuckle. And Robin Williams, see, we'll talk about that with B. West. We'll ask him about it. Robin Williams, Bless the Dead, rest in peace, overrated.
We can't talk about this then.
All right, well, I'm just saying.
He was such wholesome humor. He was wholesome humor, which I think is something that's also lost now. But
I've also heard about him stealing jokes.
All comedians steal jokes.
Not from, you talk to a comedian before you go on stage, you go on, and the joke that the person just told you backstage, and you steal it so that they can't use it in their set. Not every comedian does that.
But did he land it? he land it better?
Somebody else's joke to the point where he had to write a check.
No, I mean, look, I'm not here to defend his, you know, his integrity of his jokes, but I think he was a really funny, great comedian.
We'll get to
his
that.
His impressions, all of it. He was the total package.
Okay. Gary, University City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
You know, I tell you, the funniest movie I ever seen in my life was Blazing Saddles, and you can't do that anymore. I love History of the World. You can't do that anymore.
Now you,
oh my God.
Now you couldn't do Blazing Saddles, and Blazing Saddles is super funny. And you couldn't do it now. You're right about that.
I mean, you couldn't do half the jokes they did on Airplane. That's one of my favorite comedies. You can't do that anymore.
We assume, though. I do wonder if you do it well, could you get away with it?
No. No, no, no.
I mean, I'm not going to repeat those jokes because I don't want to lose my job, Jack. I'm not going to repeat those jokes. Got a job. I got things going.
But it was delivery. But then again, you have to think about this. The audience was more intelligent, too.
Yeah, people are dumber now.
Yeah.
I go with that. The internet and Twitter and Instagram have made us all dumber. We're all stupider. So, yeah, that's true. But overall, old school or new school, Gary?
Old school, definitely.
What about sports? What about
basketball.
The old school? Yeah, go
basketball.
Ahead.
Think about this. Think about this. That 83 team would destroy this team.
Would they?
Are
you sure about that?
Moses, God knows, I love Joel Hands and B, but Moses Malone would use him like toilet paper.
Come on, see that disrespect? Oh, yeah? Moses could guard Embiid? Are you sure he could? Because I'm not sure he could.
If Al Horford is doing what he's doing to Joel Embiid, what do you think Moses would do?
Right, and let's not remember we say with Al Horford, that means Embiid only gets 23 and 12 in that game. Only. Let's use own like we want to use it. So if Embiid gets, who's guarding Ben Simmons? Who's guarding Ben Simmons? Mo Cheeks is guarding him? Who's guarding him?
Chris Brown and Ben Simmons.
Uh-huh.
Bobby Jones.
At the start of the game, who's guarding Ben Simmons? First possession.
Julius,
okay. Who's guarding Butler? Who's guarding Harris?
Bobby Peach.
Who's guarding Redick? Yeah, see, you only look at the one side. No. See, this is what happens. The old school loves to talk about what they would do on the one end. Moses could not guard Embiid. Period. He couldn't guard him. And Horford, when we say own, it's not like Embiid gets 8 points and 2 rebounds. He only gets 24 points. He only gets 2 blocks. He only gets 12 rebounds when he's owned. Ben Simmons does shoot. I get it. Mo Cheeks, Hall of Famer. I get it. I love that team. None of those players could guard Embiid. None of those players could guard Ben Simmons. None of them. Those old school players. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. People got mad, and we'll talk to Westbrook about this old school, new school thing. Joel Embiid does more things than Wilt Chamberlain ever did on a basketball floor. He does more things. He has to do it for longer. He has to win titles, so he's not better. But he does more things. So if you take a guy out of a time machine in his prime, he'd look at Embiid and he'd go down to the low block to guard him. And Embiid would be at the foul line making jump shots. And Wilt would have no idea what the heck to do.
I'm getting anxious for you in here.
These old school guys.
I'm just saying, I'm getting a little anxious for you because I know it's coming.
Does things that old school guys would not know what to do with. I'm just being honest. They're not better. Listen to what I'm saying. Does more things. If you can't accept that, well, then you can't accept that.
Oh, man.
610-632-0975. 4-5, Brian Westbrook. We'll keep this conversation going. We'll include him. Me and him have never agreed on anything ever. So I expect that to continue in the 4 o'clock hour. Tyrone Johnson, in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.